Here we go. We've got Speaker of the House, Tim Moore, now joining us. Welcome back to the show, Speaker Moore. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. Good to be back with you. I hope you're well, sir.
I am doing well. I am indeed. So are you back in Raleigh now for the discussion about when we're going to have a primary?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're headed that way. And I'll tell you, it's we're working on, you know, we have a bill that we're looking at running that would basically push back the primary about 3 weeks into the first Tuesday in June. Push the filing back to give everybody time to make sure to work through this in case the court does something with the districts. But we got word just a little bit ago, apparently, that the Democrats are now all going to oppose the bill.
Yeah. Just to give you, they're going to oppose the bill that gives you more time to draw maps. Is it that they don't
exactly
want there to be time to draw the maps?
Apparently they've issued a statement saying that they want the court to draw the maps, which again would be completely unconstitutional. So that's what they're now saying. Hopefully that some reason will prevail upon them when we bring this bill up, because I'm really surprised. I think this is a bill that should really pass unanimously or nearly unanimously on a strong bipartisan basis, because what we need going into these elections, we need certainty. We need one primary for all the elections. You know, we don't need these, you know, like a primary for local offices and a primary for the other ones, because you want the maximum turnout. You want the most participation. So I'm actually very shocked.
Maybe not everybody wants maximum turnout here. Maybe this year might be a bit weird for Democrats, and maybe they would like to have a little bit minimized turnout, particularly in some of the local races. Might there be a benefit there?
You know, I'd have to kind of try to read some minds or something. I don't know on that one. It really did surprise us, though, Pete. I mean, think about it. One of the things that Democrats have been talking about was they even at one point said they wanted more time, if you may recall. And we said, well, we think we can keep things on track. We moved to get it done quickly, and now the litigation is taking some time, and thinking, well, you know, just to get buy some extra time and see if we can have some conversations to where to go with things, we would do it. So really very surprised. But I think what's happening is that the shots are being called out of Washington, D.C., is what's happening, by Mark Elias and Eric Holder. They're the ones calling the shots on the side of the Democrats, it appears.
So the gain here is to get the courts to draw the maps, which I can't say I'm terribly shocked to learn that this is the end game. This is what they want, is to have the court, probably like appoint a special master, I think is what they call it, right, to draw the maps. Now, who that would be, I'm assuming that they are pretty confident that the court would appoint somebody of their liking, maybe the guy from, Stanford or wherever he is, right, versus, say, Sean Trendy from Real Clear Politics, right, like that guy who does the map drawing for other legislature. But maybe they do a double or something. I don't know. But I suspect that's the play, is that they think they get a preferential map or a, quote, fair map, which is one that elects more Democrats than otherwise they might get. That's the end game.
Certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, we had, I mean, this redistricting process we went through was open. It was transparent. It was one that didn't take into account, you know, the political data, didn't take into account racial data. Then bear in mind, remember, some of the Democrats came forward saying, well, no, you need to take into account race. After that literally had been litigated all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court in the past.
Right.
And it's just, you scratch your head sometimes. I mean, so who knows how to go forward. We'll run the bill, and if they vote against it, and if Governor Cooper vetoes it, so be it. But then they'll be on record. And I think the voters will be able to very clearly see that you've got one side, the Republicans, who are trying to, you know, work through the process and come up with something, versus Democrats who are allowing themselves to be led around by the nose by these organizations out of Washington that are simply using those members and using our state as nothing but political pawns to advance just a far left agenda. And but you know what? The great thing is, in November, there will be elections, and everything I'm seeing right now is looking really good. So I don't really know what they can try to do to the maps that's going to get in the way of what's going to be a good year. And at the end of the day, we're going to have strong numbers, Pete. But this was really an attempt at trying to be very bipartisan and do something that just needs to be done to give everybody a little extra time.
Well, they made an investment in one of those justices on the Supreme Court, right? So, I mean, it's only reasonable to expect something. Now, I said that, not Speaker Moore. I said that. But, I mean, honestly, like, there's this, there are these questions. I notice there are a lot of people that are very keen to see Republicans forced off of the case for conflict reasons. But I don't see the same people making the arguments for Justice Anita Earls, who literally got funded by one of the entities that's in the case. I think that might be a bit of a conflict.
One would think, right?
Yeah.
And as I understand, actually represented some similar plaintiffs in very similar litigation just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, the courts should not be playing politics. The courts should be interpreting the, and enforcing the law, not going in and creating new law to come up with a political result. When you do that, that just does a great deal of harm. And I don't know that the Supreme Court will do that. Obviously, there are folks who are worried that that might happen. My hope is that reasonable minds will prevail and that that the Supreme Court will follow the law. But here's the deal. Whether we do the three-week extension or not, the law requires that if the court, by the way, strikes down the maps, let's bear in mind, the trial court upheld our maps, okay? So the trial court has ruled for us, but if the Supreme Court overturns that and establishes some criteria, by law, they have to give the General Assembly the authority to go in and redraw the maps before they would ever go appoint a special master. So this just gives a little extra time for that process. What would end up happening is you'll probably have to see if that did happen, is just a much more abbreviated process to redraw those maps, which is unfortunate because I think the more time and the more transparency, the more involvement is always better. So we'll see how this thing plays out.
A day of surprises out of Raleigh. Here's another one. The governor actually issued a proclamation for North Carolina School Choice Week. That's a first.
Well, every cloud has a silver lining, right?
Right.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm supportive of it. It's just kind of surprising coming from the guy who's been trying to dismantle the school choice program in this state. So, there's always an opportunity to be surprised in North Carolina politics. House Speaker Tim Moore, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time, sir. Take care.
Thanks, Pete. Take care.